A new season. A new season has begun. And guess what? It's an old season. We have started season six.
The season of the sixes. And that's we have, right. More importantly, new promo looks. Yes,
that's right.
Refresh the art, bitch. This season is a catchphrase factory, and we've only met half of the girls so far.
That's right. And right after they arrive in the workroom, the queens jump in the air for a photo shoot, and then they make an outfit inspired by a TV show with a bunch of boxes full of junk. What show would you want to do?
Boston Legal. Season six. Oh, yeah. I was on Boston Public. Sorry. Season six is great, but I'm not going to go around giving my IMDb like some girls. This is going to be so fun.
That's right.
My sister and I, Alaska, would like to welcome you back to Classy.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser
Classica,
a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What is yours?
Hello, I'm Willem. Sorry, my name is Cornisha Act. If you've seen the new promo photo. Cornisha Act.
Now, we want to take you on a journey through time and space.
2013.
Now imagine a time when a little-known queen named Alaska had made it to the top three of season five, but did not take the crown. A girl group known as DWV was topping the charts. Alaska Thunderfuck recording artist had released a hit song called Rue Girl and a vlog on someone named Willem's YouTube channel was chronicling a small drag queen tour bus breaking down in the middle of a highway and making its rounds around the internet.
And who could forget the successful run of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, starring Willem, Alaska, and Michelle Visage. Mm-hmm. Just like that, a year went by. It was 2014 and time for an all-new season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
That's right. We're back in the saddle, toots.
Honey.
You know what? You know what? We were like, okay, there's a little bit of a break before we get into All-Stars. Should we do clip shows? No, because we just did a season that had 45 clip shows. So no, we're not. I want filet mignon. I want meat. I want real episodes of Drag Race, and I want to talk about them. That's what we're here for.
Got beef? When we gonna eat, bitch? Because we got a full buffet of beef from Monet and Tamisha right now. So, but you could check on Hot Goss for that. This is classique.
This is classique.
Classique. this was when the episodes were also an hour. I didn't notice that the episodes are now 90-minute trilogies.
So tight. So tiny and tight, these episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, just quick. Catchphrase, mini challenge, maxi challenge, runway, done. See you next week, Gorge.
Mike Ruiz, party at the Hilton extended stay overnight. You go home. But this was the first time that they threw a big twist at us, like the entry.
Where loved. The
girls, yeah. Kept us on our toes.
What privilege.
Yes. And I mean, the show at this time was really picking up steam. I'm not saying it's because of season five, but I mean,
I think it was because you were the first girl to put a steamer in her rider. Before that, all the garments were rumpled and wrinkled.
Rumpled and soiled. No, they still are, if I have anything to do with it.
Honey, I saw your promo picture.
Yes. Oh, yes, new promo pic.
New promo pic.
Promo princesses.
Check the Dropbox. Thank you so much, Austin Young, for shooting our lovely visages.
Fabulous. Refresh the artwork if you haven't, because, you know, I mean, let's face facts. The real reason we wanted to dive into season six was so we could do that, you know, that promo pic.
Honey, I don't wear black often, but when I do,
it's
to mock my sister.
Corbelina Actington.
Corbelina Actington.
Yeah.
Did you see that meme where RuPaul said, she said, "I'm here to find Down Under's first drag superstar." And then it's a picture of Courtney going,
looking sad and dismayed.
Honey, she looked beautiful at the premiere, and so did Vanity. Vanity? Honey.
Beautiful.
Good.
The dolls are so beautiful. And
she had ornamentation in her updo in the back. It's one thing to be pretty for yourself. It's another thing to be pretty for all the people that are looking at you while you're throwing up later, face down, or getting fucked, doggy. You know, that's a whole nother thing that a drag queen needs to consider. And a queen like Vanity, I salute thee.
Right. That's why you put that gas mask on the back of your head on that Popoloptic challenge.
I put that gas mask on my head because I was cheating. They said, "You can use your own undergarments." And I said, "Well, this is under my wig." So I was like, "No, this came styled like this. This was styled into this."
Well, we start out, this episode is called RuPaul's Big Opening, Part 1. Mm-hmm. And the episode starts with a fake MGM title card. RuPaul's in a Catwoman runway look and saying,
mm-hmm. This preview has been declared sickening for all audiences.
Wow.
I love that they're just laying into this. It looks like they got money. I mean, the promo was good for it.
Oh, yes.
There were no bubble wands or archery influences. But the voiceover says this: 1 year ago, in an abandoned studio, 14 queens were terrorized, broken down, and tortured. Well, they read your journal.
Well.
That note must have fallen out of that old brown overcoat you wore. Since then, evil has laid dormant until now. This season, RuPaul's Drag Race is on the edge of gory, as 14 unspookable queens put the fear in fierce. Drop dead gorgeous fashion, scary good celebrities, and some crazy psycho bitches. But don't be scared. There's tears as well as fears. So get ready to get scared, silly. RuPaul's Drag Race is back.
Wow. Well, you know.
Do you remember this promo with everybody bathed in purple light? Some girl was in milk. Some girl was in soup. I think someone had a big spoon. And Bianca was in a library tearing books out of a page. Pages out of a book.
Honey, the level of budge for that promo was sickening. This remains one of my favorite promos. There's a Black Panther creeping about. RuPaul anthropomorphizing into the Black Panther. Pink light. Everyone's in black clothes. I am not mad, and I live that lifestyle.
Budget wise, though, do you think it beats season 4 and our spaceship?
No, you guys are nice. You guys were nice, but this is like the sequel.
The sequel.
The sequel.
The sequels usually are sequential.
You guys were cute.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys looked good.
Well, at least I didn't have a harp.
I didn't have a prop.
Who had a harp, Ivy?
Jade? Jade the water bearer?
Was seashells, I think. Seashells.
Seashells.
This supercut was amazing, though. I love that they use Bianca's editing. They use Bianca and they cut her into, like, she's saying it to the judges. She's like, I'm gonna do something when Santino wins a sewing challenge and Massage wears a turtleneck.
And it just cuts to the judges going, oh, how could you say this to us? No one has ever spoken to, in 6 seasons of this show, no one has ever spoken to me like this.
Except Tammy Brown, the original Tammy Tidbit.
Right.
She talked back and she did not care. Also, Latrice Royale. She laid Santino out to the good. Point where he apologized twice.
Good.
Like stuttering. Like, aww. Oh, I didn't mean to. Like in his fucking Tim Gunn voice. It was great. So can we talk about the queens this season now?
The dolls are going to head to the workroom and I want to talk about them.
The dolls are coming. Adore comes in wrapped in a pashmina because you know that set was cold as fuck.
Of course.
Then she drops it. She says, I'm home. I'm a fucking Libra. And then she says, for all the queens telling me I'm not polished enough, I'm polish remover, bitch.
So funny. So charismatic. The faces that Adore Delano is pulling in this fucking episode are just, I mean, she's like a fucking Muppet. She's just like eyes and like, she's like the little, there's this puppet in the Beetlejuice movie. That like creeps around like it's a little worm head person. She's very that.
I think she looks beautiful. The wig could have used a good little base tease and a shake or maybe a go.
No, just put it on. Don't shake, just go. Ben de la Creme enters and she's in full terminal delightful mode. Hi, everybody. It's me, Ben de la Creme.
She says, when she introduces herself to Adore, she says, Dayla for short, duh for shorter, Miss Cram if you're nasty.
Girl.
And then they cut right back to boy interview where she's like, I describe Dayla as terminally delightful.
Very James Mansfield, honey. When it's in full guiche, then it's a totally different voice. And when one eyelash is on, it's this. I'm not in character. I'm not.
But
two lashes, girl, watch out.
One of the funny things that she slips. Ben has all these little wisecracks that, like, it seems like if you miss them. There will be another one coming down the barrel the next second because she says to Adore asks Ben what her sign is and Ben's like, I didn't get one of those.
And Adore's like, okay. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where Ben knows he's on television and is taking advantage of every moment. Can't fault him at all.
Right.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Miss Gia.
Everything must be zebra print. Hello. She walks in with because she's drag excellence and she was repping Chicago. She walked in a fully stoned zebra print keftan cover up, which she reveals to a fully stoned and like beaded zebra print swimsuit. Okay.
Honey, I don't know if you could call that a caftan. That was more like one of those umbrella covers that you throw out after.
Okay, well, it was a reveal. Walking in.
It was a cover-up. She looked beautiful.
She
not
looked
mad at all.
Very. And what about the purse? Does the purse get its own interview? Chair.
What purse? All I saw was track and field accessories. That hula hoop with a pocket? Yeah, I loved it. I actually am trying to buy it. I'm in negotiations right now with the Jijijia gun to buy it for the Palm Springs place.
Oh, I bet she's going to get you for all your worth on that
Honey, what she quoted me, I literally said to her, I was like, I'm going to have to wait till 2021. 2020's been tough. I was shocked. I was like, oh, okay. I should just go to the store and go to KB Toys R Us and get my own hula hoop.
I mean.
But I need that one. I need it. She looks beautiful. The hair is a great example of how you should do drag hair. It's fully the size of her fucking head.
Yeah.
And the way she takes off those glasses that honey, she's a walking vagina. She's so cunt. So cunt.
She's everything.
And she says she is CCC, crazy cuckoo cunt.
Yes. Just a little trip from Asia, just landed like fresh tilapia.
And then she slams the bag on the table as like the period. Like, she is wonderful television.
You don't, you just, you need Gia Gunn on TV. You need
her. Can we talk about the part where she says, I feel like you're going to be like the motherly figure.
Oh, well, you called me old.
Oh my God. We're going to take a break before we get to the next girl because she's going to break her back while she throws herself on the floor.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist, eh? Come on, season 6. Let's get sickening!
The subtitle said, let's get sickening. S-I-X-N-I-N-G.
I thought she said sickening. I've always said it as sickening. We were wrong.
Yeah, no, the subtitles are wrong.
Okay.
Ganja comes in this cute little plaid number with a feather in her cap.
Honey, yes. Looking and so cute.
She gets right on the floor, and she is happy, happy, happy to see her friend Adore because they started at the same club, which I feel like was probably VIP, maybe?
Oh, that TV show starring Pamela Anderson Lee. Yes. Do you remember VIP?
Honey, I auditioned for VIP. I remember it.
What, for Pam's part?
No. Some drag queen. Girl. I used to watch it. I love that show.
The clothes?
The detective skills?
Like, that is fierce. Pamela Anderson's sickening. But also, so is Laganja Estranja. She and Gia are just carrying on immediately. Sushi rolls! Sushi rolls! Sushi rolls! And Dayla is just bothered. Flummoxed and flustered.
Well, I mean, he and Jinx can't get that close to the floor usually unless they fall. So I understand why he would be jealous of them sushi rolling down to the ground.
Right.
But it's clear that this season is going to have a lot of charisma already. Walks the face, the beauty, windswept from the beaches of Puerto Rico. Reporting for duty, April Carrion is in the house.
Mm-hmm. She just parachuted in. Which is a first in Drag Race history.
I mean, there's been many shoots, but no parachutes.
Right. I can't believe they didn't show her landing. I guess they didn't have the cameras set up outside. But she parachuted in. She's carrying the parachute behind her. She says she's a cross between Bjork and Coco Rocha. And, I mean, April Carrion is one of the most beautiful beauties to ever enter Drag Race.
She's pretty pretty.
Pretty, pretty, pretty. Beauty, beauty, pretty, pretty.
Mm-hmm. And next walks in my good friend, Miss Kelly Mantle. Mm-hmm. She says, "Hey, bitches, y'all ready to rock and roll?"
Woo!
And then she whips off her sunglasses and says, "Ooh, better put these back on."
I'm just kidding, everyone. I love Kelly Mantle so much. Anyone who has even dabbled in drag in Los Angeles has probably worked with Kelly Mantle in some capacity. You were on several hundred TV shows with Kelly.
I hate you so much.
Weren't you? I mean, you guys were.
I mean,
she's the TV girl.
Southland, CSI. Yeah, we've done a few together. We definitely got cast a bunch together, but she has the nerve, the gall, the cheek, the gumption to say, "I am an actor. I've been on a bunch of television shows, but I promise I'm not going to walk around reciting my IMDb page like some people we know from past seasons."
The read.
I don't know who she's talking about either, but I'd love to get to the bottom of this.
Whoever it is sounds like a real cunt. I mean, whoever she's referring to. Just kidding.
Must be RuPaul. Michelle, probably.
Gia says, "I don't know. That simple black dress with glowing hearts on it is just not giving me drag."
The things that Gia intones, she's like, for someone who's been around this long,
if it's her just drag, not giving it, maybe it's just not for you.
I like that they show Gia being friendly, saying, or trying to be friendly, saying, "Hi," and then they cut to her interview. Kelly looked a mess. This is classic Gia. It's wonderful. It's so great to see her back. Next up in the room is Miss Vivacious.
Wow.
She comes in and she says, "Mother has arrived."
Yes.
And she was in the carpool lane too, because Ornacia's with her.
Uh-huh.
I have a question about Ornacia. Yeah. Is that a styrofoam wig head with the eyes hollowed out and then glow things put into them?
Oh,
it looked like the eyes were changing color. Yeah.
Or did she green screen it and get them to key it out?
I don't think it was that.
Oh, okay.
Could you imagine? You know what? I'm just going to wear a green dress into the workroom. If you guys could just make it look like it's covered in Swarovskis. Thank you so much.
AB Fire Opals.
Very Maureen San Diego type of tease.
Mm-hmm. Vivacious has a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction because she's trying to reveal her actual head. And the other queens are cheering for her. And it's like, it feels like one of those cabinets in an RV that like just won't open until you really figure out how to open it. And they're like, "Yes, pull it down. Come on, come on.
Show us, darling. Show us what it looks. Show us." And she finally does. And it's worth the wait. And, you know, sometimes they do allow the girls to redo their entrances. Do you think they let her redo her entrance? Since this was an error.
Maybe we can ask our special guest this episode.
So then the girls are like, "Okay, can't wait to see the rest of the dolls." And then, video message.
And they're like, no, that's not enough, girls. Keep going. Send more in.
That is when your fucking asshole falls out of your pants.
Their pussies went either up into their throat or down to their ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all, once you get thrown a twist, when you think you know what's happening, and then they want to throw in a little lime twist.
Right.
You know, they knew there was some shit coming.
Bubbly bounce. RuPaul says, "We interrupt this Kiki to bring you a special bulletin. This season, the drag revolution will be televised. So don't adjust your sets because this extravaganza will be broadcast in HDS. That's high definition shade. We now return to regularly scheduled competition already in progress."
RuPaul comes into the workroom And she just gives a casual count. She says, okay, ducks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7. Yep, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And Gia, much like she said to Courtney Act at the AAA Girls show, she said, is there no budget?
I have no budget.
No budget. Trade for print.
It yeah, is good exposure.
Yeah, there. Rue explains that there will be two premieres this season. Mm-hmm. And she says this group of queens are going to compete against one another. And one queen is going to go home. And the same thing will happen the next week with seven more queens. And she says, because the only thing better than one big opening is two big openings. Which means she's never been to a bathhouse on Labor Day. She says, this way, no one will be lost in the crowd. And honestly, I think this is a great idea because we get to know the girls a little bit more instead of like, if you're not in the top or the bottom, you get sloughed to the back.
Exactly.
And this one, no one's really in the background. We really get to see more of each one than we would if this was a whole episode with 13 or 14 girls, you know? So
yeah,
I do think that it's a wonderful service to the girls that they were doing this now.
I love this device because yes, and it's exactly, it's like she says, no one will be lost in the crowd because it is sort of like, you can kind of skate away with some bullshit on episode 1 and 2 when it's the full like cast. But this way, the girls are a little bit more scared because there's only 7 of them and 2 of them are going to end up in the bottom. So it's really like you have to deliver really hard for a chance to win a sickening supply of Color Evolution cosmetics.
Wait, but did you see those makeup kits? They were like plastic, like Blick art cases. They were not makeup kits.
So you saw what we got on season 5?
Oh, is that what you all got too?
We had Color Evolution as well. And it's a lot of like mineral makeup, like bare minerals.
Oh, yeah. That's great for beard cover. Just buff something into the beard cover.
No.
Make it all a fucking mess.
No, but I guess they had a good deal because this is the second year of Color Evolution.
I mean, it's no Elf cosmetic. I'll tell you that.
Honey, I like Elf.
Me too. I used it last week.
Yeah.
What in the fuck?
What?
England is loud.
You got wind.
We're going to take a break. Honestly, I just saw a cardboard box blow down the street. That's how windy it is. A cardboard box.
What floor are you on?
I'm on the 5th floor.
It's the Macy's Day.
Not in the wind. No, but I saw garbage bags fly off the building next door to me.
My outfit.
Like earlier today. Honestly, your whole wardrobe.
No.
A sickening wardrobe. We'll be back. I'm going to go try to catch this bag. So this mini challenge is a typical America's Next Top Model ripoff. The girls did the fairy tale, Sleeping Beauty, princess, basic American Next Top. The girls jumped into a pit of foam.
Which, this is lifted directly from America's Next Top Model. They did a shoot where they are meant to be in midair. And
which makes sense because Mike Ruiz shot, I think he might have shot that for Top Model.
Right.
I remember him shooting on Top Model for sure. But it's all hashtag all TV, all shade.
Right.
And they're right. There are a few transvestites here.
It has very little to do with TV, though. I mean, it's, the background is painted like a TV, but it's about
jumping. But none
of
them jump high enough that they're in the background also.
This seemed really fucking dangerous to me.
Honestly, my favorite part was when Ornacia popped up out of the foam and it was just Ornacia, no Vivacious.
Yeah.
Like, she was still like submerged. But I think more of the girls might have done better if they thought of it as jumping instead of falling.
Right.
No, it's not a Life Alert commercial, ladies.
Well, okay. Well, we'll talk about each one. But okay, we get to see the new and improved shoeless pit crew. Jason,
Simon,
Sean, Miles and Simon.
Honey, they added 6 new names. Simon, Sherry, Wood, Miles, Davis, Moody.
Yes, mommy.
All the names.
Serial killers and pit crew members all have 3 names. If you look through the history books.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's pretty wild.
Also, I think Simon was just there because he came with Courtney. They were really good friends around that time, you know, Rasputin, doing that zipper face.
Courtney knows how to do Simon. They're sponsored by Scruff.
Oh, yeah. They have Scruff on their underwears. It's a shame Scruff doesn't make footwear. But, you know, maybe for season 7, that'll change.
The girls are in footwear, though, because they have to put on these little booties, I guess, for safety. Because, you know.
These little peds. Disgusting.
I have no pads.
these are the ugliest things someone could put on their foot.
these little fucking hospital shoes. Like, just
how would a high heel have hurt this challenge? You're jumping into foam.
This is dangerous all around. The girls are climbing up onto a high platform, and then the idea is they jump gracefully into a box full of foam, basically, to land softly. But some of the girls are taller than the other girls. Ornacia, Vivacious's headpiece, Ornacia, almost hits the other side. So I'm just thinking, like, if you really jumped, you could fucking bang your head on the side.
Broken both her necks.
Right. Adore is a little awkward with this, but she has a great personality and, you know, she goes first. So she does good.
Dayla does really well. She keeps her face. They give her one note. She gets up to the light, looking beautiful. Did Gia change her outfit?
She fucking did. Yes. What do you think she had in that giant purse? She had a switch of outfit, Darl. Yes.
She had a look. I bet she had fucking fins in there, too, in case the first challenge was water.
Honey, case it's swimming, I will be swimming to the top, sweetie.
I like when she says, did I do good? Was that better?
And then she just, it doesn't compute that she didn't do it right. RuPaul's like, well, no, but you can try again. Was that good, though?
She's like, did you get the frame? Her face does not move, and you don't know if she's trolling us the whole season. She's just like, was that better?
She's so good.
It's wonderful. Laganja flies through the air like a flying trapeze. She looks, she knows what she's doing. She's an airborne beauty.
Exactly. And, you know, some of the girls take to this stuff really, really easy. Some of the girls flop off the edge and almost hit Ornacia on the other side. The queens go back into the workroom and they are de-dragging. Okay. And Kelly is looking around and she's like, okay, well, me and Vivacious are kind of the elder stateswomen of the group here.
Mm-hmm. The girls are getting naked.
Some of the girls. Some of the girls are getting out of drag.
Gia just doesn't see it for Kelly. She says, if it's just not giving it, maybe it's not for you.
This should be called the Gia Gunn Show, because first of all, she's reading Kelly beneath the dirt. Then she's like, so do you want to see all the spectacular clothes that I brought Adore? How is she though?
And Adore tells her to fuck all the way off. Because at this point, it feels like she brought like four little scoochie dresses.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think that any of the girls would weaponize their wardrobe and show it off to intimidate the other girls?
Well, I think Gia was I don't think it was necessarily an intimidation tactic. I think it was, she was excited about the fierce shit that she brought. Maybe it was a little like,
my shit's better than yours. My shit's better than yours.
But, you know, as we will go on to see, maybe maybe more so now, it really is. I mean, your clothing has to be really fucking elevated. But back then, it was very like, it was more like personality based, and you could get a little, you could get by with some, you know, with not everything being fully stoned and custom and perfect, you know?
I would like to cement your sentiments about Gia, though. She's, I counted, almost every other interview talking head clip is Gia. She, mm-hmm. they milked Gia. They put her on a milking machine and said, just feed us quotes, baby. Feed us. And she sure did.
She was feeding, darling.
Honey, there was a feeding frenzy.
RuPaul comes back into the workroom and surprise, surprise, Miss LaGonja Estranja wins the mini challenge.
Honestly, beauty and grace in the air. It's hard to do. And Gonja did it. She looks beautiful.
And LaGonja is serving a look in her out of drag workroom look, which I commend her for. And some of the girls,
yeah,
yes, she had on a black lip. She was very like, she was very putting consideration into her workroom look. And some of the girls later in the season try to like read her about this. But nowadays, especially on All Stars, the girls are dressed in the workroom in custom outfits, and that's another category now. So I think LaGonja was really on the forefront of like taking it there for us.
Honestly, like, remember Shay's all-star workroom looks?
Yeah,
that was Joey J's finale look. Basically, just jumpsuits.
Yes. And the girls are trying to read LaGonja like, oh, you're doing too much, baby. It's like, you're on TV and it's called RuPaul's Drag Race and it's a drag show. Every second you're on camera is a second to say something and do something. So I commend LaGonja for that.
Some of the girls see something, some of the girls shake.
See something, say something, hat day.
So LaGonja, as her prize for winning the mini challenge, gets to award the teams the boxes for... Oh, well, first of all, RuPaul pulls all the girls out. She's like, oh, no, I forgot. I totally double parked. Girls, follow me. And then they run out of the studio, and RuPaul has this truck. And I think the girls think that the other bitches are in the truck.
Well, because RuPaul gives us a good old misdirect before the commercial and says, do you want to meet the other seven queens? Well, you can after you do this episode. I mean, it's a very, I mean, deep misdirect. And also RuPaul's storage whores. That doesn't sit well with me. I don't know why I don't like that.
I mean, you do know that in season four, we started saying that the girls were available for paid encounters when we weren't top three. And RuPaul does not mind a girl making her coins any way she can, I'm sure.
No, listen, there's nothing wrong with sex work. What I don't like is I generally don't like when people call a group of drag queens like, come on, you bitches, or like, come on, whores. Come on, you fucking skanks. Let's go. Like, I don't like that general like vibe. Like, if I want to call myself a whore or a slut or a slag, fierce. But when it's referred to like a group of drag queens, like we should be called a dazzle or a gaggle or a murder. We should not be called a group of fucking nasty ass fucking skags. You know what I mean?
I mean, I've seen some of the girls.
If you want to identify that way, it's fine. But, like, I don't like, a truck referring to, like, a group of my friends as, like, storage whores. I don't, it doesn't sit well with me for some reason.
Careful with your rotator cuff because you're reaching.
First of all, whore.
I mean, most of all. You just knew it.
I'm not reaching. I'm not reaching. This bothers me.
I almost just came because you were reaching around so hard.
Oh my god.
Most of these girls are whores.
Oh my god. You are a whore, darling.
You show them what they want to see.
Take the cash, you cash the check, you open up a fucking truck full of boxes, and you choose one.
We're gonna take a whore break.
Actually, explain.
Come on, you stupid whores. You're taking a break. See, I don't like that.
Get in the whore truck.
Explain what this main challenge is, and then we'll take a break.
So the main challenge is the girls have to take junk from these trunks and create a high fashion drag look for the runway.
Yes.
Which boxes that are labeled with different television shows, yes, such as Dancing with the Stars, Duck Dynasty, Keeping Up with the Kardashians,
etc.
Game of Thrones, et cetera, et cetera. Other shows Courtney's been on. Yeah.
EastEnders.
So Laganja's prize for winning the mini challenge is she gets to sign the boxes with the TV shows on them.
Yes.
And, she picks Dancing with the Stars because she's a danseur.
She's the dancer girl. She gives April Carey on Duck Dynasty based on her workroom entrance look, which is a little bit of shade.
I mean, using the information available to determine calculations, I'm not mad at right. it. Gia gets Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Appropriate.
She finds that very apropos. Mm. Vivacious gets Game of Thrones.
Mother has arrived of dragons.
Which makes sense, too, because she knows the show. And Adore is hinting Golden Girls. And they...
Ooh, I hope I get Golden Girls. Thank you for being
Ooh, I just love Golden Girls.
Ooh, I just love that Golden Girls.
Ooh, give me that reggae pump.
Dorothy, Sophia, you know, I just love those. And then Laganja's like, and you're going to get Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
I have a question, though. Adore says in the interview that she was saying it, and I'm sure she was, but why don't they show her saying it?
She was saying it quietly behind her hand.
Oh, and she was next to Ganja. So do you think Ganja heard her and was like, no.
You have to sing out, Louise. Why? What prevented Adore from saying, I want Golden Girls? Like, can't you just say what you, or maybe they weren't allowing that.
I mean, anybody who doesn't use their voice when they should use their voice, especially when it's a voice like Adore's,
that's a good fault. Voice. It's a good voice.
Yeah. But Here Comes Honey Boo Boo kind of works for her too, I guess, because, you know, like a Daffy personality character.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly gets Downtown Abbey.
Honey, I'm not Uptown Abbey. I'm Downtown Abbey. and Dayla gets the Golden Girls. Jealous. Okay, work.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being my friend.
Gia and Dayla are both thrilled with their boxes. April is on the other end of the box spectrum. Her box is full of crap. It's crap. Just crap.
She says it's crap. It's crap. And why the fuck does Adore Delano have a bag of spaghetti in the... This is just a prank. At that point.
Disgusting. Like, you are nothing to do with drag.
There is no way. And some of the... I mean, Dayla had...
Cheesecake,
I think. So maybe they all had food items of some kind.
Kelly had bacon.
Yeah! Why the fuck they give an Adore Delano a Ziploc bag full of spaghetti? I guess the reason they did it is so they can have the image of Adore Delano holding up a bag of spaghetti and saying, what the absolute fuck is this? Which is really what we as the viewer want.
Gaggenzola, that's what it is. Adore just smells it and she's like, ugh.
Fresh and Gaggenzola.
She didn't even fish out the hot dog chunks yet.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw
those
up.
Those are
okay.
The best part.
RuPaul comes in for a walk around.
Mm-hmm. She mentions that Adore was on season something of American Idol.
Yes.
And she was only 17. Adore has a great humor about her American Idol past. She says she looked like a lesbian Jonas brother. I remember when she put in those purple hair extensions and I was watching at home and I just remember thinking, oh, that's too much for America. And she went home that week.
Oh,
I remember thinking like, oh, okay, I love it, but the flyover states are not going to take kindly to that, darling.
Not Jane and Joe beer can.
No, no,
that's
no, no,
what RuPaul likes to say.
RuPaul asked her about her sewing skills, and
some of the girls don't know how to sew covered in drag race.
Yeah, some of the girls' sewing skills are show.
Yes. Vivacious is a fan of Game of Thrones. She said, well, this is what I don't understand, because Vivacious is like explaining her look and she's like, I'm gonna do a baby dragon on my shoulder, and they play the Hokey Pokey Holly Hobby music, and RuPaul is like, what? what are you talking about? Like, it's the most absurd thing to do. You're given a box with dragons in it to suggest that you're going to wear one of the dragons that is provided in the box. And then RuPaul to be like, wait, what? Huh? What are you doing?
Why?
What are you doing, you fucking moron? How fucking on dare you? Show? How dare you do on a drag show where you are tasked with making an outfit out of the absurd items we put in a box? I liked her idea, and I thought the hokey pokey music was unwarranted in this moment.
I mean, but you never know. She could turn herself around.
Turn the beat around. Turn the wigs around.
Well, Rue is coming to Kelly at this point, and she tells Kelly that she reminds her of a young Carol Burnett. And Kelly... Yes. Kind of does, you know?
Very that. They definitely have a family resemblance.
I'm really not sure how this giant flower in the Downton Abbey box goes with Downton Abbey. Did they have silk flowers back then?
I don't. You know, I haven't watched Downton Abbey yet because me I'm neither. Waiting to binge watch it when I get my facelift.
Another?
When I'm old. No, I haven't had my first yet. But I'm saving certain shows like Game of Thrones and Downton Abbey for my downtime.
Game of Thrones is great. Go for that one.
Okay.
I started watching that in the middle, and then I went back, and like the middle was just, I started watching on that Red Wedding episode. Mm. And honey, I needed a panty liner. There was so much blood.
Okay, you had your own Red Wedding. Oh, hi. This is my real voice. Okay. April says that she's going to tailor a pair of pants into some high-waisted fashion moment. And Rue says, well, if you're a man, you can't wear pants. Like, oh,
cut
my
to
God.
Four seasons later, pants on the runway.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I think RuPaul thought that these girls were the bottom seven. Because
she's treating them like it.
Out of all these girls, Adore and Dela are the only ones that like placed high, I think, kind of. Maybe Gia was sixth or seventh, too. But I feel like Ganja was middle.
Right.
All these girls were out earlier middles.
Well, Adora.
Yeah, she was third. Or second, actually. Sorry, Court. Gia
has nothing.
Gia talks not in circles, in spheres.
Yeah.
She's talking in so many circles. It's a globe. She says maybe like a dress, but so like a gown, something
I was thinking
long.
Like, sort of just taking like some of the stuff, making a like maybe a dress.
And RuPaul
vague. Describe your outfit without any conclusions. Hey, vague. It's very vague.
Deep vague.
How you going, mate?
Oh, you dog ass mole.
Oh, put another Bilby on the barbecue.
Bob's your uncle. Is that something they say?
No, she's my sister, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. We would like to...
Yeah, we would.
We would like to both tell you about the wonderful things that are happening
simultaneously
on the chop.
Absolutely.
And our sisters Manila and Latrice are reviewing Drag Race Down Under.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to give you a little sampling.
Yeah, so this is a little segment we call the Down Under Digest.
My name is Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your Down Under Digest.
On episode one of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, we meet all the queens. Do you think the overall entrance looks and lines were a top or a chop?
Overall, tops.
Tops?
Yeah. An acting meaning challenge full of screaming, crying, and nonstop Ru laughter. Did you live?
I lived. It was fun. Two runway looks, born naked, and their hometowns. How were the fashions for you?
Oh, fashionable. Sickening. And a stellar lip sync, Were you gagged?
I was a little bit gagged.
I live. For more recaps of season one of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under,
check out The Chop every Thursday here on the Mom Network.
Usually they come in and they go like the next day and they get into makeup. But the voiceover just says, later you'll be on the main stage runway.
I feel like they probably had the photo shoot and then they were given their stuff and then they were told to work on their things. And then the next day they were told to get into drag and do any little last things they needed to do. And that's how it usually works. I feel like they didn't show the girls going home and then coming back the next day. I don't know why. Maybe because the show is only 60 minutes and they can't show everything. But it made them seem like they were really slammed. And Adore's outfit doesn't feel like it's going to come off of the mannequin. And
I made one attempt to help the bitch get the ensemble off of the mannequin. And she told me to go away. So...
yeah, but Gia's attempt at helping, to be fair, was probably going over with nail polish remover and a lighter.
No, she was trying to help. But I understand Adore Delano's panic. And again, I'm glad for it on this moment because it's really good TV. I understand her panic, though, because I've had an outfit fall apart that I had constructed out of hot glue in a dream. And it was coming down time to write. Adore is just banging the fuck out of that mannequin, dude. Just psh, 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 psh. Bug. But on the main stage, we see Ms. RuPaul, okay, in a glittering silver aquamarine ensemble. That this one did come off the mannequin.
Honey, you like how I look in the aquamarine? Get your Vaseline from season one.
I mean, put it on the lens. I love
put it,
this.
Put it on the lens.
This is Matthew's work. I mean, the hair, the makeup, so soft, so just, I mean, it's ethereal, the whole look.
She looks beautiful. Yeah. No notes.
No notes.
For her. Santino looks like he's at a company picnic. Oh, couldn't even put a blazer on.
No. Michelle Visage.
Tits looks up to her lower lash.
She looks like a really fun girl at a concert.
Like, she looks like a Bratz doll aged up.
She looks like she
and that's not a read. Really, that's not a read.
Fun. And that she might have some fun stuff in her purse if you're at a party with her.
For sure. A couple of good who had those hair accessories that she was throwing out of her hair while she was lip syncing?
Stacey Lane.
It feels like there's Stacey Lane accessories in her hair.
The chinchilla pieces, honey. Yeah. Yes.
By the way, say a prayer for Stacey Lane. She just got out of the hospital. If you're listening to this, just send her some good vibes, please. And thank you for the original Heather.
Yes, absolutely. We love Stace.
We have our friend Adam there, and Mike Ruiz is on the panel also.
Yes.
And the runway song, which they introduced at the beginning of the episode, they started playing it, is Sissy That Walk.
It's a good song.
Great song. Shall we bring it to the runway?
First up is Miss Gina Gunn, keeping up with the Kardashians. This is like a black and silver woven fringe with a little booty shoe and those good old pageant rolls up on her hair. I think she looks really good, put together and very lovely.
I think she looks great too, but since they didn't show any of the girls actually making anything, I'm wondering what was in there already. Like, was that bodysuit or did she actually weave that out of, like, you know... did she have a loom? Like, what did she make?
That disaster was looming.
I know she put those pom-poms on the back of that shoe, and that's about it, and maybe the fringe, but she is serving presentation. She looks beautiful.
She looks great.
April Carrion is in a grab bag of Duck Dynasty offerings. She's got some browns. She's got some flannels. She's got a duck.
She doesn't give a duck.
Honey, and it ain't plucked. I'll tell you that. That hairline in the back, that's a... This is... And they read her for this, too. They didn't read Fifi her season when she did it. Like, when a person has a squarish hairline in the back, that tends to read butch or a square sideburn, you know? Like Vanity's Live, she had a sideburn before Drag Race Live, and she just took a razor to it, and she was literally... The way she was shaving, it hurt me all the way from Australia.
Yeah.
April's hairline is kind of square, and they read her for it, basically.
They did. They read her for it. I mean, I take umbrage with this critique because, I mean...
That was the color of her gown, umbrage. A burnt umbrage.
She still looks beautiful, and she still looks feminine, even with a square hairline. And that's applaudable. I thought she looked really great. And you've heard of soap on a rope, but this is duck on a rope. So...
If it's up, then it's duck.
If it's up, then it's duck on a rope. Next up is Miss Laganja Estranja, honey, mama.
Honey, from the ankles up, I love this look. She looks futuristic. She looks stylish. It could be off of any runway. But then when you get to the ankles down, you see that it is too long. She's wearing a glitter wedge. But the nails, the lip, the head, it's all very space princess and beautiful. I'm not mad at it.
No, yes, I think she looks cool. What is it giving me Dancing with the Stars?
Depends what episode.
I'm not certain. To me, Dancing with the Stars is always like a glittery fucking cha-cha dress and fucking cha-cha heels and just hair. For me, in general. Am I saying I don't like this look? No, because I love this look. And I love that Mike Ruiz, the sort of collar around her head is a very high fashion detail. And I think she looks cool. And I fucking love Laganja, so.
Next up is our sister, Kelly Mantle. Mm-hmm. And honestly, she looks like she's at a bridal fashion show as a bridesmaid. She looks beautiful. And I don't know how they're reading her for her makeup. Michelle says her makeup was horrible.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Michelle says her makeup was horrible, and her makeup is fine.
She looks really pretty.
This is not how we rate the girls, but she looks like a woman.
She does. I find the dress very wearable. I love the color palette. I think it's soft. I think it's feminine. I like this look a lot, especially judging from the fact that she does not have sewing or construction experience in any way. I think the
fit is
also very good.
She's got construction experience. I've seen some of her men.
Trade workers.
Honey. When that bell rings.
Adore Delano gets a deep side eye look from RuPaul. Just RuPaul is looking bothered.
Honestly. And Adore tries to fun it up a little bit with some sunglasses and some character-y things, but it needs some underpinnings, I feel like. If she made that short and then made it fluffy like a little girl's party dress, it would have served her a lot better. RuPaul's doing the thing where she tilts her head back to try to not get sick and show her bottom teeth. If you can't see it, that's exactly what I described it as. Just barely show...
The issue here is that, I mean, it probably, the construction that she did probably fell apart on the mannequin because of the mannequin
disaster. When she ripped it off. Yeah.
And so it appears as though she is wearing a sheet of fabric belted, which I think they tell her that, and because that's what it is.
With an American Apparel belt.
All that being said, the makeup is beautiful. The hair is lovely.
I feel like this is her promo hair, and they just like jacked it up to high heaven.
Yeah.
Because she wore that big pink look in the promo, I think.
It gives me Honey Boo Boo as well. So, I mean, it was a little rough on the construction side, but I think she looks cool.
Honey Boo Boo.
Vivacious. Yes. What time is it? Oh, it's Bird. Okay. It's Bird o'clock. Oh my God, I have a meeting at 1:30 Bird. I really
Bird's a great photographer. I know her. They sent a raven, and it landed right on her wrist. I get the Game of Thrones reference.
You know, but actually, Vivacious's wrist piece in this challenge goes on to become RuPaul's makeup artist in a few years.
Oh, how wonderful.
Because Vivacious has a raven on her wrist. I love this look on Vivacious.
Wait, do you mean the makeup artist that showed up a week late to Australia because she didn't clear up her paperwork and that's why Rue wasn't in drag for the first episode? Is that the Raven you mean?
Wait just a goddamn second. Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. Talk to Corbelline to act. Damn.
Okay.
So Vivacious's look is
I love
aluminum foil couture with some feathers.
I love it.
All these girls are relying heavily on sequin dot. Not all of them, but like three of them.
And what's the matter with that?
Nothing, as long as you pair it with the right shoe and tailoring. But none of them seem to do that.
I love Vivacious's look. I think she looks cool.
So you'd wear it?
Yes. Send it over.
With the lights on?
Yes. Send it over. And the bird bracelet better be fucking coming too. And her walk is full of vivaciousness. I love
it. Baby, if you wear that anywhere near me, believe I'll give you the bird. Best believe, huntry.
Yeah. Let's talk about
Ben, who comes out like he's on a completely different episode in this immaculately tailored gown with swags on swags of fabric. What was in this bitch's box?
Well, she had really nice fabrics, but she also knows her silhouette and she knows how to achieve it. Now, I'm guessing she did some very clever hot gluing and she has this sort of side swoop of fabric that I'm guessing is hiding a multitude of like gluing going on. But she's got it done to a point where it really fits on her body fabulously. She knows her shape. She knows her silhouette, her proportions. It's Golden Girls-y. It's Dayla. It's beautiful.
Let me tell you, that ruche was touched because she gave that booty.
Booty
she
tooch.
She looked great. And so she brought out cheesecake, too.
Honey, not only must you be sexy, but you must also have a body. It's called cheesecake.
Cake. Huh. So they are throwing the word fish around like we're at Pike Place Market. Let me tell you that.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm at the spillway. And we're throwing loaves of bread at the piles of bass that are just eating. Yes, that word is thrown around a lot. Who's tops, who's bottoms, who's gutter? What's going on? Everybody wants to fuck April Carrion. Or no, Adam Lambert wants to fuck April Carrion.
Michelle doesn't agree with anything Santino says to the point where she's giving him eyes and texting RuPaul under the table. Can we get rid of him?
I don't like this guy.
You know, after this episode, Michelle was like, who the fuck is this guy? And Ru was like, he's been here a couple seasons. And Michelle's like, no, get rid of him. Hate him. Get another faggot. A blonde one. I'm the brunette.
They are gushing over Ben de la Creme, obviously. And they really go in on Kelly and Vivacious.
They're not very kind to Laganja also. They tell her that she's doing, she lost her neck and she's trying too hard and pushing her personality inauthentically. But the same could be said about Gia from the way that they're editing it, where both of them not interrupt, but they're right on the edges of the judges' comments and they have a comment back like, absolutely. Or,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Gia said absolutely all three of those times that they put it there, because two of them sounded very similar, like they doubled it and just changed the camera. But who knows? Reality television.
Very Saint-Tropez.
Absolutely.
My favorite thing about Mike Ruiz saying is Vivacious that she looks like Carol Channing meets Edgar Allan Poe.
Again, but what's wrong with that?
They make these girls play TV shows they've never seen. What the fuck are they supposed to do?
I think Bob the drag queen did Carol Channing meets Edgar Allan Poe for Snatch Game. The, Listen, okay, so the safe dolls are Gina Gunn, Lasagna Estrangia, April Carrion, and Adora Delantro. The winner of the challenge is Venda La Creme, who receives a custom jewel package from Fierce Drag Jewels. Everybody.
Which leaves the bottom two as Kelly Mantle and Vivacious. The lip sync song is Express Yourself, which Gia seems to think would be right up Kelly's alley for her age group, which is just
so
like
rotted.
Ageist, just the worst, but so funny. And honestly, they don't show much of this lip sync. They show three people commenting on it and less than a minute of it in reality. It's neither of them gave me chills at any point, but Kelly did do the diamond ring thing where she's like, ooh, look at my diamond ring, which was nice to see because that's drag excellence. Whenever you say something and then pretend it's on your finger, it's what you do.
Right. I've got lots of style. Check my gold diamond rings.
Rue tells all the queens that next week the same thing will happen to the other seven queens. And then the week after, they're going to put all the girls together, and it's going to be Sevilla up in here.
Yes. They are packing it all in season six, and I can't wait to see how this season turns
out. Honey, you'd think it was fudge. So, we'd like to introduce our sister, Miss Kelly Mantle, or Miss.
Hello. It's Mr. if you're nasty.
Oh, we're so excited to have you here. Our season sixter.
Yeah. Season sixter.
We're so glad to have you. It's so lovely to see you.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
We just worked on a feature together. So it was.
Yes, we did.
We did. It's not out yet. But we were sitting out freezing in the desert at night until 4 in the morning for a couple of nights. Like
out in the wilderness at like 4 in the morning with no bonfire. I mean, looking back on that, we could have literally shot that in some backyard in Beverly Hills, probably.
Yeah. We definitely, yes.
We totally could have.
You know?
We were going for reality, you know.
Exactly.
Showbiz.
Right.
Yeah.
We just watched the first episode of season six, and
well, that's the only one I'm in.
No, you were at the reunion.
Some people are in it to win it. I'm in it for a minute. Thank you. Wow. Great talking to y'all. Bye bye.
Beep beep beep.
We'll see you later.
End call.
Stop video. There we go.
Oh my god. Well,
now you know. Had I known that I could have PayPal'd everyone $10,000 to win, I would have just done that.
It works. Not only does it make a great impression on the set, it also works.
Yeah.
Honey, I always say if you can't be good, be quick.
Right? Well, you know, before I got on, I think it was Willem that told me you either need to win it, lose it, or be disqualified. So out of those three, the only one that I was even capable of doing was losing.
can I tell you, I remember you in my driveway, I was like, why are you back? And she's like, and you said, girl, they got me. And I was like, what? I was like, no, they Venused you?
Venused me. Yeah. Is that the new going home first? Venus?
It's Shangela was the first to get Venused. It's when an LA girl goes home first.
Mm. Oh, okay.
But
sounds like a laser.
I know the true tea is you went home because you found out it wasn't SAG.
Well, girl, I mean, there's a lot of true teas as to why I went home first. Yeah,
wait,
it definitely.
What do you mean?
You know, when I showed up, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. You know, you and Detox had told me a little bit, you know, because we were in that band together and you all would share info. But yeah, I was like, oh my God, this is. I think, you know, when I got there, we immediately knew, they knew this is not for you. And I knew this is not for me. Like,
in what way? In what way?
It's just not my gig. It's not my gig, you know. I'm not good with putting looks together. And I failed to kind of think of that before I got on. But, you know, I thought, oh, I can do that. No problem. Nope. But no, seriously, I mean, there's a lot of factors, you know. It was a mind trip. It was a mind fuck. There was a lot of shit going on.
What was it like when you found out there were only 7 girls in that first episode? Was everybody just like, what? That's not how it works, RuPaul.
Yeah, it was very strange because, you know, I already knew that Bianca was on. So I was like, where's Bianca?
You were like, where the fuck are
I was like, this is weird. And then, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was very strange to only have, what were there, 7 of us? Yeah, it was very strange.
Now, I remember the first day I was there on season 5, and it felt like the judges were, it was like, there was blood in the water and they were sharks after the girls that were going to be in the bottom 2. Did you feel like as soon as they got to penetration, I was like, oh my God, they're going in. Did you feel taken aback by the sort of response from the judges? Was it really harsh? What was that like getting critiqued the first time?
Well, I knew from the day I showed up, I was going home first.
How did you know?
Girl, you know, they do the producers come and do a meeting with you in the hotel rooms before you start shooting to look at your outfit. They're like, have all your outfits laid out so they can see them.
Oh, they didn't do that on my season.
And they came in and girl, you should have seen the looks on their faces. They were like, oh.
Misha was like, do you want to borrow something?
Right? I'm like, I'm definitely going home first. But yeah, to answer your question, Alaska, I was, you know, I mean, I knew that my looks sucked. I mean, please, I'm not delusional. I can't, you know, like, I'm like, what have I created here? I thought it was high art, you know. It's been hanging in the MoMA since season 6. You know, Yoko Ono is going to sing to it. But no, it was, you know, I knew the look was completely tragic. But I thought, well, I'll get by on, you know, my charm and humor. They were not having any charm and humor. The minute I walked out on that stage, that Michelle Visage and Santino and what was his name? Mike Ruiz. Mm-hmm. Honey, they hated me.
Oh my God.
Like you could see the disgust on their face. They were like, ugh.
It was nice to see Adam being kind to you because, I mean, we both had worked with Adam in club makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like. And I love when people like read a script and then they start with the positive things first. I learned that from Kerry Washington. I didn't mean to drop that name. Oh, I can't find it on the carpet now. Damn. But yeah, always leading with a positive. He was nice to say that your look was feminine, beautiful.
That was very nice of him.
I liked the dress.
It was a beautiful shape. It looked like a Game of Thrones gown, honestly. Unfortunately, your show was not Game of Thrones, though. You look like you could have been like a Lannister princess or something, honestly.
Well, you know, I had never made anything in my life. I'm not an arts and crafts kind of person.
Wow. You know? Wow.
But yeah, I had completely forgotten at that point that there was even a show attached to it. So when they started mentioning this doesn't look anything like, what was the show?
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I was like, and I had never seen Downton Abbey. So I was like, what is Downtown? And I looked over and I was like, what is Downton Abbey? And they were like, that was your show. And I was like, oh.
Oh, my word.
I mean, I was so completely clueless, girl. I was like, oh, well, listen. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, in all fairness, we were given these boxes full of just, you know, shit.
Crap.
And, but, you know, Gia and Laganja got like bodysuits in their boxes because they were like Dancing with the Stars and
Kardashians.
The Kardashians. Yeah. So, you know, if I had a bodysuit, I could have just, you know, hot glued shit to it.
Bodysuit in a dream.
I didn't have no bodysuit. I had like old lady doilies.
And bacon.
They were cut into squares. Well, I thought it looked like dirty maxi pads.
I love it. All these things I love. Do you still have the dress?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, of course. I'll never get rid of it. It's my pride and joy.
Could I wear it?
Yes to the dress.
You can totally wear it, girl.
Maybe that'll be my second promo look for season 6.
Second promo look.
I think it's beautiful. Like, it out of all of everybody's looks, Dayla's Golden Girls look was great, but I thought it was very wearable and very feminine, very beautiful.
Well, thank you.
They try to describe her without using the word statuette.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I do have the top. I had to get rid of the bottom because it had all of my blood all over it because I had about 16 safety pins. So I kept cutting my fingers and bleeding all over. God.
Bottoms are disposable like that. There will be more around.
Wow.
Well, I thought it added a nice touch.
I have a little question. Would you ever do a first off season of Drag Race if they ask?
Only if they promise to send me home first again.
Kelly, can I just say, like, this interview has been delightful because you're just so funny and you're so great. I wish they would have kept you around longer, but I mean, it's not Southland.
Well, you know, if I ever do go back, I'm going to sage the shit out of that workroom because, honey, it needs some saging.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Is there anything that we can look forward to you coming down the pike now? You always got music, right?
I do. I'm actually recording new music as we speak, so hopefully that'll be done, by 2030.
Love.
And Alaska and I have this feature film coming out. Mm-hmm. I'm getting back to doing stand-up comedy, live shows again, vaccinated. We're shooting The Browns. We're shooting a new season of The Browns in June.
Word.
The Browns is very, very funny. We love Tammy and your chemistry. It's so wonderful. My last question is, what was your favorite television show that we've worked on together?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say it would be Southland.
Mm.
Yes, when I came and saved you from the wig shop that you owned from being robbed. I saved your life. You owe me everything.
I do. I definitely do. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for popping on by.
Yes.
You're so welcome.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Y'all.
We love you, Kelly Mantle.
Our own personal deep throat Kelly Mantle.
That's right.
Yes. Kelly Mantle. Love y'all.
Bye. Bye, we love you. Form Decor Lounge. Trouble at Interior Illusions, I see.
Yeah, they filed chapter 17, I think. Some of the girls steal pillows.
Girl, no, there is very cute clothes or very cute furniture.
And this season's Untucked yields many, many quotable quotes, such as feeling like pussy, feeling like cunt.
Take me to the back and I'll show you the front. Cousin shows and stunts. So mad about me like Helen Hunt.
That is a cultural reference relating to our co-host, Alaska Thunderfuck.
Yes. And yes. National treasure and friend of the pod, Helen Hunt. I mean, it's really about the feeling like pussy, feeling like cunt. That's all that happened. And some other stuff happened. They look at the mini challenge photos, they share the critiques.
The Ganja cried.
Look out, and some of the girls are like, I don't know about this Laganja character, which is just foreshadowing for what's to come. But what'd you think of the episode overall?
I enjoyed it. Other than seeing my friend go home, it was pretty entertaining, I think.
Just yeah.
Setting the girls up for failure with bad boxes, like not giving some girls bodysuits and not other girls bodysuits. I think it was like Riggery. And the fact that this was the first year that they made the girls show them their outfits before they even got to the set, like Kelly said, that's crazy because my season, it was never like that. And nowadays, the girls have to submit sketches even for the finales.
Girl.
So they're doing the most now because they want to control it. And that makes sense with all the other things they're controlling. Jimmy Simon. God, this cough.
Wow. I loved this episode. This season 6 is considered by many to be one of the best seasons ever. And it's a lot of people's favorite season. And you can really see why, because it's just personality, personality, personality. Every single person is bringing so much with them into this competition. It's really exciting to watch. Anytime Gia Gunn and Laganja Estranja are on my TV, I'm here for it. And yes, Kelly Mantle went home first, but how iconic was her exit? And she owns it so fully. She's continued to have a blossoming and prosperous career that's unlike anybody else's. And she was so classy exiting this show that she wasn't crying. She was like, yeah, this sucked. Don't wear bacon. Don't wear bacon. Don't wear bacon. Honestly, we love Kelly Mint.
She keeps it short and funny, and nobody could be mad at that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that with this ending. So, bye.
Well,
thanks for listening.
We thank you so much for listening and for joining us for Race Chaser Classy this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love, love, love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe and take a moment and give us a thumbs up or a few stars if you'd like.
Five stars.
Preferably. Five if you got them.
And you can follow these rotten old whores at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. And our Mom Podcasts account is at Mom Podcasts.
Plus, we have bonus content available at patreon.com/Willem. You can search for the Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser on Patreon.
And you can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Also, wear a mask, wash your hands, get the vax if you can, socially distance yourself, and respect each other out in the world, please.
Hallelujah.
The bacon goes in the pan.
Absolutely.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.